Good day, Gospel for Grandparent listeners. It's such an honor to be sharing this moment with you today. We pray that you will be encouraged by what you will hear this day through the Word of God, and that the Holy Spirit will just give you a revelation of the Word of God, and may you be enlightened, may your heart be lighter, may your mind experience the peace of God whilst we're discussing our topic today. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been speaking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And before I go into our discussion, I'd like to introduce our beautiful Angelina, who's the CEO of Women of Africa Care. Welcome, beautiful Angelina. And we have one of our beautiful partners, Erica, on the line this day as well. Welcome, Erica. Ladies, you want to just greet the listeners?
Hallelujah, yeah, we can just sing 1,000 hallelujahs to a good God, even though there are so many challenges that we face in this world that we're living in. Good day, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It is our pleasure to be able to speak to you once again today. And may God open your ears to hear what He has to say to you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Angelina. Thank you, Shanaz.
Thank you, beautiful Shanaz and Erica and our Gospel for Grampian listeners. I'm always excited every week to just come and share about the good news of the kingdom of God. So Shanaz, Erica, let us have fun today.
Definitely. Thank you, beautiful ladies. And I just want to say I'm always so excited when we have to share on this platform, because definitely the Lord is ministering into our hearts and we experience how the Lord is dealing with us. So when one teaches God's word, we definitely are much more accountable, and so do we are tested by this word that we minister on. So it's so exciting to share this platform. So I'm going to hand over to our director, Angelina. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, beautiful Shanaz. Listeners, before we go into our topic for today about walking in the Spirit, the demonstration of the fruits of the Spirit radiating through our lives, I actually want to open up a conversation with my friends on the air today about a matter that happened over the last few days regarding Jesus, regarding our faith, regarding the knowledge of who God is. And I'm going to start with Galatians, when Paul talks to the churches of Galatia, because that's where we're going to be ending our story anyway today. We're going to be talking about the fruits of the Spirit, which is in Galatians 5:22. But when Paul starts talking to the Galatians, he says here, "Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." So I just love this introduction, where now our precious Paul is introducing God as Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and he's introducing God as Abba Father. And then he goes on and he says, in his second paragraph of his write-up, he says, "Only one gospel." He says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ Jesus. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." So here we see in Gospel for Grampian listeners that Paul is saying that the people that received Jesus Christ as Lord has suddenly been derailed from the gospel and have now listened to other reports that are out there. And I think in the time that we are living in, Erica and Shanaz, there is so many different religions and different doctrines in Christianity. So let's stick with the doctrines in Christianity. There's so many people that use the Bible and rewrite it and eliminate certain things from the Bible and add things in the Bible to create a gospel. And here Paul is saying there's only one gospel, and that is the gospel that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that is what the born again Holy Spirit people minister. So do not be derailed by people that are giving you false doctrine, because it is a cursed doctrine. And if you believe that, then you are actually following a cursed belief system. Why I'm saying this is that I'd met my son for lunch the one day, and he was talking about one of his friends was dating a girl that was of another religion, but also had Bible information in that religion. But there were certain things in that Bible that was removed about the gospel of Jesus Christ and about the Holy Spirit. So that Bible had information about God, but the Holy Spirit was defined as a power, and Jesus Christ was just defined as deity, but he doesn't have the same authority as Abba Father. He's just a lesser authority and a lesser person in the Godhead. And so this guy, this youngster, fell in love with this girl and decided to go to her church that she worships. And he ended up getting mentored by the mentors in that church and left Christianity to follow that doctrine. He came back home one day after believing that doctrine, and his parents were absolutely shocked because they couldn't understand, how does this child grow up in a Christian home but end up following that doctrine? And the reason was his parents were just Christians by label, but they did not practice the word of God and the ways of God in their home. That is why when he dated this young girl and went to her church, he was able to follow a wrong belief system. He didn't even pick up that the doctrine in that Bible was different from what is in the Holy Scriptures. And then what happened a few days later, I'm now sitting in my holy place by the lake. I had books all over me. I had Erica's book sitting there. I had another book around fear, and I had the Bible, and I'm busy spending time talking to the Lord. And this little doggy comes and he disturbs me. And as he's disturbing me, his owner comes and says, "Oh, what are you doing?" And then I tell her, "No, I've got my friend's book here that I'm reading. I'm reading the Bible, and I'm trying to understand what the spirit of fear is in detail so I can understand it in order to be able to help those that are going through fear." And she says, "Oh, I know a scripture for you. Go and read Isaiah 43 and Isaiah 41:10. So here now I begin to read the scripture aloud to her, but not knowing now that she understands the Bible, but she's not of the same faith as me. And then later on when she left, she said, "You know, if you really want scriptures, go and get it from this website." And then the bell rang in my head that this woman is not a Christian, even though she quotes scripture as in Isaiah. She is not a Christian that we minister about, the one gospel that Paul speaks about. We need to become aware of who God is and what the Bible says about God. So when people come with the Bible to us, we know that it is not the one gospel that Paul talks about, but it is a false doctrine just using the title of God and using the title that this is a Bible. And we must not assume that that word God and that word Bible means that we share the same gospel. Before I go into the details of what we must be aware of, what are your thoughts on that, Shanaz and Erica?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I think John chapter 14 for me says it so nice, that if anyone that you speak to and they don't agree on the scripture as well, will automatically also tell you that you're dealing with somebody whose doctrine might be different to yours. John chapter 14 verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So here Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And if anybody else tells you that there's a different way to reach heaven or to reach Jesus, and it's contrary to this, then that automatically also tells you that you need to caution and be sure that when you're speaking about the gospel, we mustn't become argumentative over it as well. but guard your heart. And I think that's why it's so important that we as believers have to study God's word for ourselves. And the Bible also says, train up a child in the ways of the Lord, and when they get older, they will not be led astray. So our role as parents is quite critical in this day and age, because we know that we're living in the end time. So everything goes in the wrong. The enemy obviously has a hidden agenda where he's pushing forth what he wants to do. And because we're living in the end time, there will be many things that will be contrary to our belief. But if we don't understand what is our belief through studying God's word, we will be led astray. And I think to the listeners, you know, the enemy will try and rob you. He will try and mislead you. Because it says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he will go after the Christian that is weak, weak in their faith, weak in understanding the word of God, weak in not walking in relationship with the Lord. And what will happen is deception will come, because you do not have the truth to guard your mind. So quite critical that we teach our children in the ways of the Lord through God's word, so that they too can have a spirit of discernment and be vigilant.
Thanks, Shanaz. Erica?
Yes, I can't really add to that, because Shanaz, you have said everything so beautiful. I can only say in one sentence, if in anything you believe without Jesus Christ, then it's not the gospel, because Jesus Christ is the gospel. Grace and truth came with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Angelina.
I love what these beautiful ladies are saying. Absolutely. And if I can just echo first our beautiful Shanaz that said, parents, we have a role and responsibility to our children. They are the ones that are going to carry the next generation and the generations to follow years ahead. And if we don't teach them the one gospel, then the next generations are going to become wicked because they are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I just love what Erica is saying, that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth to eternal life. So if any religion comes and tells us that the name of Jesus is not the way to heaven, then already there, while they might carry the Bible in their hand and they might use the word God and they might have similar scripture in their Bible to what we have, if they tell you that Jesus is not God and you must not use the name of Jesus, then you know already that is not the gospel that was preached by Jesus Christ. I love what John 20:30 says, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. John 3:16 confirms that eternal life happens through receiving Jesus as Lord of your life. So the first thing you must know, beautiful listeners today, if somebody comes with the Bible and says God, and they don't say Jesus is God, and that you cannot go to heaven believing in Jesus, in a polite way, say to them that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. Use what you know to minister to them, but don't believe what they are saying as truth and think that the name of Jesus is not God. Another thing that other religions that carry the Bible and use the name God say is that there's only one name to God, and that all the other names are not God. I want to bring some clarification, because people are missing out the name of God to the attributes of God. And I'm going to ask Shanaz and Erica to come in as I dissect this. So in the word of God, in Matthew 28:16, we pick up that Jesus is telling the disciples that all authority has been given to him and in heaven and on earth, and that he's telling the disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. So our listeners today, when we say God is one, we are not saying that it's one person. So I think we need to separate the two there. God is one, but is made up of three persons. And Jesus says it so beautifully in Matthew 28:16. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. There you see the Trinity. When you hear the word God, God is plural for more than one person. So Trinity means that it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that is God. Now, some religions think that because the description of God is a lot, they assume that there's many gods. As an example, if we look at El Shaddai, El Shaddai is describing Lord God Almighty. But that's not saying that is God as a person. That is talking about the quality of a God. It's like Erica. If I have to describe Erica, I'm going to say Erica, she's bold, she's strong, she's a counselor, she's a prophetic intercessor. Her name is who she is as a person. But her qualities are she's a counselor, she's bold, she's loud. So El Shaddai is a quality that's saying God is almighty. He is all sufficiency. Just like Elohim. Elohim is plural for gods. Elohim means creator. And it's plural meaning that there's rulers, there's divine ones, and there's judges. God is rulers, is divine ones and judges. Meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are divine ones, are judges, and are rulers. So Elohim is plural for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So don't assume that when you see God, you think it is one person, because some religions are saying God is one person, and therefore Jesus, Father God, and Holy Spirit cannot be the way to heaven, because the Bible says, or their religion says, that God means one person, and therefore we are wrong in our understanding of who God is. When we actually look at the Hebrew for Elohim, means it's plural, gods, right? Then when we look at El Elyon, the Most High God, yeah, it's not the person, individual God. It's describing that God is supreme. El Elyon means God is supreme. Adonai means God is Lord and Master. So I ask you, Gospel for Grampian listeners today, when you see these words, Jehovah Rapha, Lord the Healer, it's referring to Jesus, who is the healer. Jehovah Shammah means the Lord is there, meaning the presence of the Lord is there. Jehovah Tsidkenu means the Lord our righteousness. Who has given us his righteousness? Jesus Christ, right? Our Lord and Savior. So I'm saying that when you see the description of Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Elohim, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, see those names as qualities of the nature of God and the capacity of God, but don't see that as that there is many gods. Do you want to contribute to that, ladies?
If I may say something just short, I don't have a lot to say, but when we look at water, water can become ice, water can become steam, but it's all water. So we can't say ice is something else and steam is something else. It all is water. So this is also when I explain something to someone that is really not knowledgeable and cannot understand the Trinity, and you say you take something tangible so that they can understand, it really opens up their eyes. And that is what I just want to say, that the names that you've also mentioned, Angelina, all those beautiful names of God is his quality. And you know what is the best? That when Jesus came, he said he's going to introduce us to a name, and that name has all the qualities in one name, and that name is Father. When you call upon God and you call him Father, all those names of Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Shammah, Tsidkenu, all of those names are in that one name, Father. So when I call upon him and I say Father, then what happens? He knows what I have of need of, or he knows where I'm at. And then the one name, say for instance, I feel so lonely, and I say Father, and then what happens? Jehovah Shammah, my God is near, comes to me. And that really blessed me so much the very first time I heard that I can call upon Father, and for the moment that I am, because he says I am who I am. So he is I am in the situation that you are in. And he knows everything. And that is why it is so good that he made everything so good. And when Jesus came and he introduced us to Father. Thank you, Angelina.
I love your description. Shanaz, talk to us.
Thank you, ladies. I like what beautiful Erica says, that he is our Father. Galatians 4 verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So this means, and Angelina spoke earlier about Jesus being one with the Father. And so when we're calling out Abba, Father, we're also recognizing and acknowledging Jesus as the Son. So I agree fully with what Angelina said on those names of the Lord. And it's so beautiful that when we see this relationship of Abba, Father, Jesus, the Son, and then we have the Holy Spirit, who's the Comforter and the Friend, each of them have different functions, but yet they are one. Thank you, beautiful ladies.
I love that what you are saying, beautiful friends. Gospel for Grandparent listeners, if anybody comes and tells you Jesus is not God, no, it is not the one gospel. If they say the Trinity is not God, then no, it is not the one gospel, because throughout, from the beginning of creation, you see the Trinity creating all things. The Word of God spoke, which was Jesus, and he demonstrated the relationship he had with the Father in creation when he came to the earth. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father do and only say what the Father tells me to say. When Jesus Christ had come on the earth, remember the time when Jesus had immersed out of the water during his baptism? Hey, the Father opened up and spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And suddenly the presence of the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and baptized Jesus. So here you see the Trinity on the earth. So if anybody comes and tells you that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is not the one gospel, you cannot believe it, because the gospel says that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Another religion is saying that Jesus Christ was created by God as the archangel before the physical world existed and is lesser though mighty. Can you believe it? They're now associating Jesus to an archangel. And the Word of God says that all things were created in Christ Jesus. So the angels were created by Jesus, but now religions are associating Jesus to an archangel. And that is very, very sad. You see in John 1, 1 and John 8, 5, 8, that Jesus is eternally God and has the exact same divine nature as the Father. So you cannot believe it when somebody comes and tells you that Jesus is an archangel. He is not an archangel. He created the angels. Okay, and he's worshipped by the angels. Father God said that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then after, God the Father said, all authority has been given to Christ Jesus. Shanaz?
So I'm looking at the Word of God, and I fully agree with you. When God the Father sent his Son Jesus in the form of man, he was never made lower than anyone else, because rightfully when he ascended back and up into heaven, it says in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2, let me just quickly find it, it says, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So I agree with you, Angelina. You spoke about right in the beginning when God, Abba Father, created heavens and earth, Jesus was already there. And this scripture confirms it, that he made the world. So Jesus was part of the creation. And he is definitely not lower than Michael, because he is part of Abba Father. And I think when we speak about the Trinity, sometimes it can sound confusing to somebody else, but it's through the Holy Spirit that you can get this supernatural revelation in terms of the Trinity. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, Shanaz. Erica, I'm going to take you on the next one, but before I do, I'm reminded, Shanaz, about 2 Corinthians 4:4. The word of God says is that the devil is the god of this world and he's blinded the hearts and the minds of the unbelievers. Therefore, they cannot see the revelation of the mysteries of God. And so they cannot see it. And so they try to logically comprehend the beautiful mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And we can only pray that the Lord will open their eyes, but we are asking our people of faith, the children of God that are born again, that make it known, like Erica and Shanaz are saying today, to know the word of God for yourself. The Spirit of God is there to give you the revelation and the mysteries of the word of God and the kingdom of God. Make yourself familiar and grow in the word of God. The Bible says that man cannot eat, live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, that is studying the word of God through the Holy Spirit. You have to do that, because if you don't do that, then the message that Paul is writing to the Galatians is going to be the message he's going to tell you. How did you so quickly follow false doctrines to get to the point where you're totally out of it and totally backslided because you were not knowledgeable on the word of God? Now, another religion says this, and this really grieved me, Erica. They say that the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force of God and not a distinct person. And that grieved me so much, because the word of God says, Emmanuel, God with us, meaning God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us, because he sent us the Holy Spirit to be the comforter and the everything that we need. I mean, scripture says in Romans 8:27 that the Spirit of God has a personality. He has a mind. Ephesians 4:30 says he has emotion. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says he has a will. You cannot be a spirit and not have a mind, emotions, and will. You cannot be a power, a force, and have a personality. And here the scriptures are telling us that Holy Spirit has a personality. He has a mind, he has emotions, and he has a will. How on earth can a force have a personality? The Bible says that we are created in the image and the likeness of God. That means if I have a personality, then Holy Spirit has it, because he's created, I'm created in his image. So if God made us in his image, then Jesus has a spirit, soul, and body. The Father has a spirit, soul, and body. That means they have personalities. I have a spirit, soul, and body. That means Holy Spirit has a spirit, soul, and body. We cannot see his spirit, neither can I. Can you see my spirit, neither can I see my spirit. Now I can't see my spirit. You can't see my spirit, but when I get transfigured into my eternal body, we will be able to see each other in that eternal spiritual body. But don't now, because you can't see the Spirit of God, assume he's an impersonal force and think he's just a ball of energy out there, because some religions believe that we are made of energy in the cosmos. They see in part, they feel in part, and they now describe the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force, when God is saying that he has a mind, he has an emotion, he has a will. He is a person of the Godhead. And as a person, he's been sent to the earth, Acts 13:2, to teach us, to testify, to commission us, to issue commands, to intercede for us. He is the third person of the Trinity, and you cannot do injustice to him by believing false doctrines because you don't know the word of God for yourself. Talk to us, Erica.
Thank you, Angelina. All I can say is, because I don't, argue with people that have not got the revelation of Jesus Christ, of Father God, and of the Holy Spirit, we cannot operate if we don't have the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that brings truth to us. It's the Holy Spirit that introduces us to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that shows us who Jesus is. And by knowing who Jesus is, then we know who the Father is. Because having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, he takes us into the realm of Father God. And knowing Jesus, and what, because Jesus said, if you know me, you will know the Father. And how do I know Jesus? By the Holy Spirit. Being a prophetic voice for the Lord, I cannot bring any word if it's not by the Holy Spirit. Because in the flesh, I cannot operate. I am not allowed to operate, because the flesh has been crucified with Christ. And therefore, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to operate in this earth to bring about the truth of Jesus and to know what the Father wants, and that we can live according to His will and also to His ways, only His ways, because our ways fall so short, and God brings us into a higher position so that we are not bound to the earthly weight. Thank you so much, Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. Shanaz, do you want to add something about our precious Holy Spirit?
I think I just want to confirm what you said, Angelina, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Samaria and all of Judea. So yeah, the Word of God, what you said, He lives within us. The Holy Spirit abides within us. He is our friend and our comforter. Jesus did not leave us without any help. The Holy Spirit is here to assist us, to aid us, to teach us all things about Abba Father and the Lord Jesus, all through giving us revelation of the Word of God. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you. So there's two more things that I want to talk about in terms of false doctrine. So another religion says that there are only two redeemed people, ones that follow this religion and the other that is the anointed class of the 144,000 Jews. Okay. And they believe that the 144,000 Jews that were anointed, they're the anointed class. They will live with Christ and rule in heaven. Even though they say Jesus is not God, now they say that these 144,000 will rule in heaven with Christ, and the rest of the people that follow this religion will live on earth, which is called paradise. Now, this defeats the whole purpose of God. God created us to be His family. He started that family with Adam and Eve. Because of Adam and Eve sinning, they cut themselves off from the family of God. And Jesus came to reconcile us to that eternal kingdom and to the family of God. Therefore, we call the adopted children of God. So whoever believes in Jesus Christ is reborn into that eternal family. And Jesus says that when I come back, I'm coming to collect you so that you can be with me forever. And then He says the old earth will be destroyed. Hell will be for the demons and all who followed the devil and his ways. And then the people that came, that have been saved, will now come to the new earth and will live with God forever. So God designed us to be His family. He never designed us to be apart from Him. It was sin that separated us from Him. And so now God is waiting. The reason He hasn't come back, Jesus hasn't come back to collect us, He's hoping and waiting for many to come to salvation, because He paid the price for all humans to come back to the family of God, because people that do not believe in God are the prodigal children because of sin. And so He wants everybody to come back into the family of faith that Adam and Eve had disobeyed and cut themselves from the life of God. And when the time is right, Jesus will come back to collect everybody, and then we become a family of God and live with Jesus and God the Father and Holy Spirit forever. That was what God designed us to be, His family. So if anybody or any religion that says that you are living separate from God in eternity, then that is not, that cannot be God, because God designed us to be like Him. He calls us children of God, and His intention is so that we can be part of His family. I don't know if anybody wants to add to that.
Yes, beautiful Angelina. Just confirming Philippians chapter 3 verses 20, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that when we become born again, there's the promise of us being a citizen in heaven, and we're waiting for His return. Mark chapter 16 verses 16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So we see that if we believe and we are baptized, we will be saved, and therefore our eternal inheritance is our citizenship in heaven. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you, thank you. Erica, do you want to comment on that?
All I want to say is to the listeners, have a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that you can know who Jesus is, and teach your children from the very beginning the truth, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. When they make a mistake or have a wrong choice, they will come back, because that is the promise of God. And so, Gospel for Grampian listeners, I urge you to know the truth, because Jesus Christ is the truth. Thank you for that. Thank you very much, ladies.
So one more before we go. We're trying to help you, beautiful listeners, so you can educate yourself so that you don't go into any other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. One more. This religion says that hell is not a place of eternal suffering, but is rather the common grave of humankind. What they're saying is the wicked are annihilated, snuffed out of conscious existence forever. Meaning the wicked can do all the nonsense that they want now, but eventually they will be annihilated and gone forever, as if they never, ever, ever existed. Now that gives a license, Shanaz and Erica, for anybody to sin, because they're going to say, okay, I'm going to have fun while I have this body, because once I die, I will not exist anymore. And that is a lie, because if you believe that and you walk in that way, you're in trouble, because Matthew 5:22, 25:41, 46, Jude 7, Revelations 14:11, Revelations 20:10, Revelations 20:14 says that hell is a real place. It's a real place of conscious and eternal suffering. So you either be saved, go to heaven and have eternal life with Jesus, or you follow the patterns of false doctrines and the devil, and you are going to end up in a hell where your conscience is alive to all the eternal suffering. So can you see, ladies, today how the devil has just twisted the Bible by taking out some words and putting in false words? And because people see the book and they see a Bible and they hear the word God, they think that what they're being taught is one gospel. And today we've just realized that there's just so much twistedness in the false doctrines that are out there. So we cannot be deceived by people that say they believe in God, they have the Bible. We have to know the Bible for ourselves. And having said that, I'm going to pass this over now to our beautiful Shanaz to tell us. Shanaz, what have you got for us today about walking in the Spirit, as we've spoken about who Jesus, Abba Father, and Holy Spirit is? Teach us and help us how to walk with them.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I think for me personally, it's really just studying God's word, being constantly yielded unto the Holy Spirit. I think when we touched on the topic of the fruit of the Spirit, this is what really stood out for me so much, that, you know, we cannot be in our fleshly lives, be performing this fruit of the Spirit, but it is through the help of the Holy Spirit. I can't do it on my own. It is when I submit unto Abba Father that I can accomplish and see that I actually demonstrate the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot do that on your own, thinking that you cannot be in relationship with the Lord. In other words, you're not attending church, you're not reading God's word, you are not spending time with Him in prayer. Then you are just loving a lie, because everything in relationship with the Lord is done. We are partakers of His kingdom, but we have to do so when we are in relationship with Him. You cannot do it from a distance. I have to make sure that I daily submit unto God's word and meditate upon His word. That enables me to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, growing my relationship with God, and also, like the word of God says, my body is the temple of God. So therefore, I cannot still, like you said, Angelina, some people think that if I continuously sin and I die one day, that I will not go to hell. No, this body of mine is the temple of God, and therefore I have to treat it as the temple of God. So in other words, I cannot do as I feel I wanted to this body. I must do everything to honor Abba Father. And that means I must live according to the commandments, which is clearly defined for us in God's word. And when I live according to that, in relationship with Him, that one day I can truly see my Maker. So I can not fall into the enemy's hands, because I will not be deceived. Why? Because I'm walking in relationship with Abba Father. Holy Spirit is constantly guiding me, giving me revelation, knowledge of the Word of God, teaching me and equipping me, so that when these false doctrines come, I will not fall by the wayside. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you. Erica, talk to us. How can we walk in the Spirit?
Thank you, precious Angelina. We know what Galatians 5 from verse 16 to 26 says. We've read it last week and everything. And I can just say that knowing God does and can produce fruit in our lives. Fruit is God's spiritual reference to what our lives produce out of walking with Him. In the scripture, the use of food refers often to productivity. Fruit of her womb, production of life within a woman. Fruit of the labor, output of work and employment. The fruit of our lips, our speech through praise or worship to God. Paul challenges us to look within and ask ourselves, what kind of fruit are we producing in our lives? Similar to how God desires for us to be fruitful, sons and daughters, we can strive also to produce good and luscious fruit with the power of the Holy Spirit, the kind which results from abiding in God and being led by Him. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is contrary to what we may know. We don't pursue or practice the fruits of the Spirit to receive them. The fruits are not something we produce by our efforts, for if so, the power of the cross and its ensuing grace would be void. We are incapable of producing good fruit on our own. The presence of the fruit is instead an indicator of the Spirit's work in our lives. But listen to this, for the fruits to be constant and consistent, we need the Spirit to be constantly and consistently working in our hearts. When we read in Galatians 3, verse 1 to 5, it's just a justification by faith. Isaiah 5, 1 to 7 is the song of the vineyard. When we meditate, do we see more of the fruits of the flesh or the fruits of the Spirit in our present life? When we reflect, when we pray for the leading of the Spirit, do we look forward to the fellowship with God and Jesus as led by the Spirit? If not, what is hindering our hearts from trusting in Christ and His gospel and His promises to you? And when we apply the fruits, in which relationships with others are you challenged to reflect the fruits of the Spirit? Is it at work, at home, in your studies, to the community, or any other area? Do the challenges stem from a place of indifference, bitterness, timidness, anxiousness, or other? Pray that as you walk by the Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit. You will bear fruits of the Spirit within these relationships, and you will live in the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. Thank you, Angelina.
You know, ladies, what I'm thinking about now, this false doctrines that are out there, if they're saying that the Holy Spirit is a power, can a power have a personality like love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience, self-control, faithfulness? Those are not personality. Those are qualities that come from a person, right? A force doesn't have that qualities. Do you see the sun having love, joy, peace, good? The sun is energy. The wind is energy. Help me here, Erica. Do you see the sun as an energy of heat? Radiate love, joy, goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience, self-control, and faithfulness. No. So how on earth can, why would the Bible tell us that the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, who is with us, works in us, and therefore we radiate the nature of Him? That's clear enough to tell us that we should not that we should be able to discern a false doctrine, because the false doctrine doesn't make sense when you read the word of God. You can clearly pick up that those things are not of God. Hence, we're saying to you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach you the word of God as you make time, like Shanaz said, to study the word of God and to know Holy Spirit, you are going to believe the foolish, illogical things that the enemy wants you to believe. I mean, look at that part where he says, where people believe, religions believe that Holy Spirit, who is God, is a ball of fire. I mean, not a ball of fire, a power of energy. Hey? And when he is a person that is sent to teach and testify, can energy teach you? No. Can energy testify? No. Can energy intercede? No. So we are saying, we're not debating to unbelievers here. Gospel for Grampian, we're talking to you today. And we want you to understand, don't just believe anything you hear. Because, you know, it grieved my heart, Shanaz, when this youngster goes to this place of worship and suddenly believes all the false doctrines, yet he grew up in a Christian home. It grieved me. Because this doctrine that I'm speaking is so far from the truth. Hey?
Definitely. And John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So we can see in God's word that there's reference made to the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. So we cannot disregard how important the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is. He is the one who gives us life. So it's not a force. He is a person, like Angelina said, beautiful listeners. The Holy Spirit is there to give you life this evening. He's not just a force. Psalm 104 Verse 30 says, you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. So here we can see that the Holy Spirit doesn't only want to be in relationship with you, but what happens when you are allowing the Holy Spirit to dwell within your heart, that he brings forth life. The wages of sin is death. And so we can see when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us that there is the promise of life. Romans 8 verses 2 to 11 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. And so we can see here that the promise, when we bear forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that we will have life. But when we please the desires of this human nature, being carnal, wanting to satisfy ourselves in lust, in anger, in resentment, that is just but a road of destruction that leads towards death. Isn't it so beautiful, ladies, that the Holy Spirit only wants to give us life, only wants to renew our inner man? And why do we refuse this? There's nothing that you're going to lose out on in this world, Gospel for Grampian listeners. You have everything to benefit when you walk in the relationship with the Holy Spirit, for he is the one that gives you life and liberty. Thank you, Angelina.
You know, why are we emphasizing the Holy Spirit today? Jesus came and did his assignment. He went to sit at the right-hand side of the Father to be the high priest and intercede for us. But he's never left us. He sent us the Holy Spirit so that the Spirit of God can reveal everything Jesus wants to reveal for us, in order for us to dwell in that eternal kingdom that he paid for us to have access to. When the minute Jesus came on the earth and he came out of the wilderness, the first thing he preached was, the kingdom of God has arrived and it is here. Meaning he brought back the kingdom of God to earth as it is in heaven. That kingdom that Adam and Eve lived in, where they dwelt with the in relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus brought that kingdom back. And Nicodemus asked him, you know, you must be with God for you to do this kind of thing that you're doing. And Jesus said, no one can see the kingdom unless they're born again. No one can enter that kingdom unless they're born again. So when we became born again, when we received Jesus Christ as Lord, we got now the life of God in us through believing Jesus Christ as Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord has been sent, like beautiful Shanaza said, to navigate us into that kingdom. He leads us into all truth and righteousness. What is the truth there, Shanaz? Jesus. What is the righteousness there? The righteousness of Christ. And so he teaches us how to walk in that spirit, where we walk in that righteousness. Therefore, we don't live like the world. Galatians 5:19, I think, or 16 to 19 says that. But we walk according to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe in the Holy Spirit and you think he's an energy, you're not going to walk in the kingdom of God. You're not going to enjoy the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It is beneficial for you to be able to do what you need to do on the earth, but it is also beneficial for other people to see the light of God and the fruit of God in you, so that they will know that you are of God. Because what does the word of God say, Erica? You will know them by their fruit. So when they see us shining, they see the fruit of God in us, they are drawn to that eternal kingdom. So if you take the Holy Spirit out of it because you don't see him as a person, you cannot enjoy the kingdom of God on earth. I mean, I love this, Shanaz. What did Jesus say when the disciples said, how do we pray? He said, you pray like this: our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Here we're worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Who is the Spirit? Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What's the truth? Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So without Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we can't worship the Father in spirit and in truth. But more especially, after he gives that prayer, the model prayer, he says to the disciples, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Can you see, Gospel for Grampian listeners? The kingdom of God has come on earth in our lives as it is in heaven. And we can only navigate that kingdom through the Holy Spirit. So if you think he's a form of energy, you're in trouble. That's what we're saying to you. The devil has come to rob, steal, and kill and destroy the gospel of God through false doctrine. The gospel will never be robbed, killed, and destroyed. But he's come to lie to the people that by putting nonsense and recreating a version of a gospel, by taking some of the word of God and adding his own things in there, and in adding those own things there, many have fallen away from the faith because for lack of knowledge. And so we are emphasizing today that if you want to walk in the Spirit, you have to stick with what Paul said. There is one gospel, and you need to live out your life according to that gospel. The King James Version is the original Greek and Hebrew writings of the Word of God. I suggest you start there, and then you go and find the other versions of coming from the King James Version. Those different versions translated from the King James Version for you to understand the Bible. You cannot go to any other form of Bibles, or they call it Bibles, to learn about Jesus and to learn about you as a born-again Christian, because just similarities might make you think that you're worshiping God, but only to find out you are in a cultic practice. I mean, let me tell you how cultic it is. They say in this religion that the second coming occurred spiritually in 1914. Apparently, it's an invisible second coming. It happened spiritually in 1914. What does that leave every human being that's here? God's come and gone. What happens to us now? Are we living in paradise forever? Is that not scary, Erica?
Yeah, it is. It actually, you don't have a word to say, to experience what this is. This is really actually, I don't know, it's not even healthy to hear something like that.
Not at all. Gospel for Grampian listeners, as we've come to the end of our series on Walk in the Spirit and You Will Not Fulfill the Lust of the Flesh, I hope today's episode has awakened you to the fact that when we don't walk in the Spirit, we are going to believe things, doctrines that are contrary to the truth. This is what Paul says in Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And he says here, now the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, etc. But I want to concentrate on dissensions, heresies, and contentions, because really what we were talking about today in this whole time was dissensions and heresies. What is heresy? In Titus 3:10, heresy is described as a person who follows his own self-will and who is to be avoided. And here, what we're talking about is people that have created self-determined doctrines, not emanating from God, but it is a doctrine that was created by someone who took the Bible, did not allow the Holy Spirit to give them revelation. They used pure logical understanding, and then they wrote out their interpretation of that logic. And as a result, there's many doctrines, should I say, under Christianity, but their doctrines are far from the truth because they don't have Holy Spirit revelation, and therefore it is called heretic. It is a religion that is not based on the truth, which is the Word of God revealed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am sending you the Holy Spirit, who will reveal to you all truth, who will teach you all things, who will lead you into all righteousness and truth. Without the Holy Spirit, you try to read the Word of God, you're going to have your own carnal revelation. And that is how heretic came about, how you've had these false doctrines come about, because somebody decided to take the Bible and go and interpret that the rapture is going to happen in 1914. That's one of the Christian religions where they say they believe in God. They call the Bible the Holy Scriptures, but they wrote out a revelation that Jesus is going to rapture the church spiritually in 1914. And when that didn't happen, they ended up now creating a whole lot of cover up for that. That is what happens when you don't have the Holy Spirit give you revelation. You make logical reasoning of the Scriptures. Therefore, one tries to make logical understanding of the Scriptures and they go wayward because, like Paul said, that the flesh is in conflict to the Spirit. So if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you cannot get revelation of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you reading the Bible will always be in conflict to the one gospel, which is the truth. And then it talks about dissension, which is part of walking in the flesh. Dissension means strong disagreement, a contention or a quarrel or a discord or a difference in opinion. The reason that there's differences against the truth is because when you walk in the flesh, you are going to have dissension. You are not going to see the Word of God in unity. When you are Holy Spirit led, everybody that reads the Word of God, Holy Spirit led, there is unity in the revelation. John 14:26 says, Jesus said, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. So I'm encouraging you today, Gospel for Grampian listeners, if you don't want to fall into the snare and the traps of false doctrine, then you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to give you revelation, because he's in you, waiting for you to give him control to lead you into the scriptures so that you can get the truth, so that nobody that is operating under false doctrine can come and mislead you the way the devil misled Adam and Eve in that garden. He works today through false teachings. So don't think that you hear someone speak about God and have the Bible that they are speaking the one gospel. The serpent's way today is by bringing the language of the Bible, but in a twisted way. And that is called false doctrine. I hope you are blessed and encouraged. Walk in the Spirit so that you will not be deceived by the devil. From us to you, ta-ta.